This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are 99 days from kickoff. The first OTA visible to the media was today. And our guy, Go Birds podcast own, Elliot Shore Parks, was there to see it. Elliot, how you feeling, brother?
What up? How you guys doing today? How you feeling?
Oh, man. We're doing great. We're doing great, Elliot. So
I'm
they moved
excited.
Every.
You guys excited?
What type of hoodie you got on there?
Yeah, what is that? Oh,
it's a hoodie. Yeah, it's a soccer thing. Don't worry about
soccer.
It.
Soccer. I should have known. If I don't understand what it is, it has to be a damn soccer.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Well, it's nice to see Spike repping Jalen Hurts' company. I know that, you know, as a big fan of his.
Oh, Jordan Brand? Oh, yeah. That's Jalen's company?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Oh, boy. Boy, we're starting off hot, aren't you? So before we get to practice, Kevin Petullo talked today, really, for the first time. Some other players talked. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Petullo's first press conference?
Yeah, so I think if your concern is that Kevin Petullo is just an extension of Nick Sirianni and maybe isn't going to bring new, innovative ideas to the offense, I think this press conference probably didn't do anything to ease those concerns. But you could also hear from listening to him talk today, like you can tell him and Nick do have good chemistry. They have worked together for a really long time. He brought that up a lot. He said, you know, Nick Sirianni's one of his biggest offensive influences as like an offensive mind and as a coach. He said at one point, you know, his job isn't much different other than leading the offensive room now. You know, it's just a press conference. We saw with Nick Sirianni himself that the first press conference is not always a good indication of who a coach is going to be. And I don't think it was a bad press conference, but I also don't know if he did anything to alleviate the concern that he's just an extension of Nick Sirianni as opposed to someone that is going to have fresh ideas for an offense that might need it next year.
You know, my guess would be the last thing he wants to do is have one of his quotes lead a headline in his press conference.
100%.
You know, the one thing that struck me about him, he did seem confident and calm the entire press conference. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't searching for words. He looked like a pro up there to me. And I think if I'm Kevin Petullo, my goal for my first press conference is nobody has anything to say about anything. And I think that's probably what he accomplished.
And to your point, he was not going to get up there and say, well, Kellen Moore liked to do this and I'm going to do that. Or Nick does this. And like, he was never going to give those type of details out. So I agree with you. Having been around Kevin Petullo since he's been here, like he is a confident, impressive guy. And the success speaks for itself of what he's had with Nick Sirianni. My biggest concern about this team, maybe overall, is are they going to be able to have a counterpunch ready when the league has spent all offseason preparing for him? And Kevin Petullo is a big part of that. Like, he's the guy in that job. So that's not something we'll get an answer to for, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks into the season. And I just think today he sounded like a guy that's always worked with Nick and that believes a lot of what Nick believes.
Yeah. You know what? I'm interested and excited to see what this new coaching sort of combination brings. And you might as well throw Jalen into the combination as well, because I'm sure he'll have input on what he likes to run, what he prefers to run, what works best for him. You want to put a quarterback in a situation where he feels comfortable in doing things that he likes to do, because quite frankly, when he's out there on the field, he's the extension of the coach. And in fear of sounding like OG Wade, when he's talking about Jalen, this is one area where he is correct at, is that Jalen controls a lot of what happens with the offense on the field. Mm-hmm. Even the Saquon Barkley runs.
Yep.
Like when he checks to a run play or he gets them out of a certain play, that's Jalen sort of orchestrating. They may give him a check with me or they give him two plays where he can run this or run that, but a lot of it is him and what he sees out there. And this is why I wanted continuity, because while I believe Kellen Moore was an asset to some degree last year, I'm not so sure bringing in someone who hadn't been here, because at least with Brian Johnson had been here with Shane Steichen, with Nick Sirianni, with Kevin Petullo. Like, they had all been here. And I'm not saying the offense is running great every week, but it almost seems to me that there may have been too much there for Jalen to sort of digest and dissect early in the season. And that was the Kellen Moore effect on the offense. Remember, everybody wanted motion, pre-snap, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe that was just too much stuff to have in. I don't know. But bringing Petullo here, at least he's been here with Jalen for 4 years. So he should have a good idea of the good and the bad of what Jalen likes. And that's why I wanted the continuity. I'm excited about this, Elliot. Get excited. Get everyone else excited too, Elliot.
Well, the way you just talked about the play calling, I think is the correct way to talk about it. And I would say, like, it's almost like the play call that comes in is a suggestion to Jalen. Like, here's what we would run. But but once you see the defense and you, like, then Jalen checks quite a bit. He audibles quite a bit. Like, he runs what he wants to run. I think the concern for me with Kevin Petullo in the role he is it's going to be about not so much like the play calling and the play design to an extent. Like, they got to have answers to give Jalen out there on the field. Like, I think in 2023, Jalen didn't always. Now, I think he held the most of the blame for the blitz thing, but it is also true that I don't know if they did the best job giving him simple answers against the blitz to get into if he needed to. And I think that's what that's where my concern is if they're presented with a new problem, but have the same minds working on it, are they going to have a fresh set of ideas to fix that problem? Because the play calling thing, Jalen audibles and checks so much, that's not really a concern. They have a ton of talent, they'll make plays. It's more like when there is a problem out there on the field, are they going to be able to solve it? And that's the concern for me.
Anybody else today of speak of note? Anybody say anything of interest that you heard talk today?
Yeah, so Dallas Goedert talked for the first time since his offseason. And, you know, credit to Dallas. I think he was very, very honest about what the situation was like for him. He said there were times where he would just sit there on the couch and, you know, just think about the fact that his time with the Eagles could be over. He talked about the possibility of being released, of being traded, where there were times his agent would call and he was expecting a call back, essentially saying, like, it's over, right? But that didn't happen. He said he wanted to be back in Philadelphia. He said that, you know, the number he signed for, he thinks represents his desire to be back in Philadelphia. I asked him, does he view this as a one-year deal or does he view this as, you know, he can still be an Eagle for life? And I think he kind of hedged on that question a little bit, but basically said, I have an agent. We'll see what happens next year. So I don't think it was the best or like most harmonious process when it happened, but being around Dallas now, and I think they're in a good place now for this season.
OTAs, the first practices that you could watch started today. So this was voluntary. Players didn't have to go. Was there anybody of note that was not there today?
Yeah, so Devontae wasn't there. Lane wasn't there. Landon Dickerson wasn't there. AJ Brown was there, but didn't really practice, or at least didn't do team drills. Cam Jurgens was there, but didn't practice. N'Kobe Dean and Jahad Campbell were in the facility, but they left and went into the main building right before practice, so they weren't in the bubble for practice. The most noteworthy one might have been Bryce Huff. Like, Bryce Huff wasn't there. You wonder, June 1st coming up, maybe that's something where maybe something happens there in terms of a trade or a release. Now, I don't know if he's been there other days, and maybe just the day the media was there, he happened not to be there. But considering the season he had, like, he's probably not one of the people you would want to see missing OTAs.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah,
I would
imagine.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. If he had another,
I don't even know. Never mind.
Well, if he had another, what's the word I'm looking for? Another commitment. He should probably cancel that other commitment and go to.
Yeah,
OTAs.
I was gonna say it had to be pretty important.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, something. It's not, who knows? Personal, right? But yeah, he was not there.
It was actually, I think it was your video that I saw of N'Kobe Dean just like walking in shorts and a jersey. I was actually happy to just see N'Kobe Dean walking normally. The way they painted that injury, I actually didn't think I would just see N'Kobe Dean walking around, into the facility as if he was going to practice at this point. So I took that as a positive sign for N'Kobe, actually.
Yeah, he didn't have a brace on. He wasn't, you know, using a crutch or anything like that. I will say, watching the linebackers today, before we get into some of the other positions, like, so it was Zach Bond and Jeremiah Tirado Jr. out there with the first team. But a name to keep an eye on, we talked about him a little bit, I think, yesterday, Smile Mondon Jr. out of Georgia. He was like Zach Bond's shadow at practice today. Everything Bond was doing, Mondon was like right behind him, mimicking him. You almost wonder if the Eagles have told him, like, hey, follow Zach Bond around and do what he does, because he was there. And just athletically, like, today was a good chance to get just eyes on the rookies, you know, who's big, who's small, that type of thing. And Smile Mondon Jr. definitely passed the eye test as a linebacker. Like, you can see the speed. He has good size, and, you know, people talk a lot about his football IQ. So he's a name to keep an eye on, because if N'Kobe's not ready, they move Jihad around, you wonder if Smile could end up winning that job.
So let's go through the positions that we have questions about, and you tell us who the starter was. At the cornerback on the other side of Quinyon Mitchell, so CB2.
Yeah.
Who was at CB2?
So two notes on that. First, when they were in base defense, so only two corners on the field, it was Cooper and Quinyon. And so I think that's worth noting. Like, Cooper is going to play some outside corner this year. He talked after practice how he did it in college, but it is a challenge, and you'll have to learn to do it. So it looks like Quinyon and Cooper will be out on the field for every snap this year. Now, when they went to nickel, that's where the competition begins. And to start practice, I was really surprised at this. It was Adoree Jackson out there in 7-on-7s with the first team defense. Wow. When they went to 11-on-11, that's when Keeley was out there with the first team defense. So my biggest takeaway from today is that is a legit competition. This isn't Keeley's job to lose.
Splitting the reps.
Yeah, they're splitting the reps. I thought that Keeley would take all the first team reps today. Obviously, I was wrong about that, but I was surprised they split the way they did. So we'll be out there next week and get to see him practice. We'll see what it looks like then. But it is clear that is a competition between those two.
And by the way, it should be. Should be.
I agree.
Yeah, listen, I like Keeley Ringo. Keeley Ringo has never been a starter in this league for 17 weeks, so I don't know what he can do out there. And quite frankly, anything Vic Fangio does is the correct thing to do.
That's true.
So I'm going to just leave it at that. If he thinks competition is best, and it usually does bring the best out of players when you know something isn't just being given to you, that just because you have one good day of practice doesn't mean you can rest on your laurels. You got to go back out there and do it again. I love the fact that Coach Fangio is creating that type of environment to where these guys feel like, hey, I got a shot to be the starter too. And so, yeah, that should bring the best out of all these guys.
All right, how about safety?
Man, the safety position, I've covered a lot of training camp battles, a lot of like positions that are loaded. I don't know if I've ever seen a position like this where there is like six or seven legit guys that have an argument to make the roster. So Reed Blankenship was not out there today, and they did more shifting around at safety than any other position. To start the day, it was Sidney Brown and Andrew Makuba. Makuba being out there was surprising, considering he's a rookie getting first team reps. They put Lewis Cine in there. They put Tristan McCollum in there. They put Andre Sam in there, who had one of the nicer pass breakups of the day. I know Christian Parker, the defensive back coach, really likes him. Maxon Hook out of Toledo got some reps out there. Like, they have some decision-making to do at safety. And this isn't even mentioning the possibility that we've talked about with Justin Simmons. So that is a loaded position now.
Well, he won't be a possibility if these guys do what they're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Justin Simmons won't be here.
And I like, a lot of them are going to have to fail. And to be clear, they could. Like, none of those names I just said are proven NFL players. So while it is a position that's loaded with decisions and bodies, it's not a position that's loaded with proven talent that you can count on. So it's possible that Tristan McCollum, Andre Sam, Sidney Brown, Makuba, like, it's very possible at the end of OTAs, they're like, yeah, these guys aren't ready. But it was just noteworthy how much shuffling they did there and how open that battle is. You figure they'll keep four, maybe five safeties on the roster. And so there could be a good player or two players that get cut from this team at safety.
And how about right guard? Now, you said a lot of you said Landon Dickerson wasn't there. Cam Jurgens was not playing. But was it Steen or was it, the name of the new kid?
What is the new name? What is his name?
Kenyon Green.
Kenyon Green. So who is out there?
Yeah. So Tyler Steen was with the first team offensive line. And, you know, while a lot of people weren't there, like you said, it doesn't really impact his spot. Like
right.
him and Kenyon Green were there. So he was with the first team offensive line today. I'll be interested to see when we're out there next week if he is back there again. But I think of all the battles we're talking about, you know, I could see a world where his job might be the most secure of all of them. Like safety, there's a lot of questions. Keeley and Adoree, I think, is a legitimate competition. Linebacker, there's injury concerns. Tyler Steen, like, was going to be the starter last year until Mekhi took the job. He played well last year when he went in. And Kenyon has a lot to prove. So I don't think he's a lock to be the starter or anything like that. But I do feel like it's probably more his job to lose than these other battles we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. We saved the most important one for last. What everybody wants to know, our quarterback, how did Kyle McCord look?
Only one for one. Only one for one.
There you go. Perfect. Kyle McCord, perfect.
He did have the highest completion percentage of all the quarterbacks.
There you go. There you go.
Step in the right direction. For
my guy. How'd Jalen look?
No, he looked awesome. I mean, he was 20 of 21, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He looked a lot like he did in training camp last year. A lot of
check downs.
I
yeah.
don't think he
Yeah. yeah no yeah, deep
here,
passes.
Here, Jack's on the call now. Here we go.
No passes completed over 20 yards or plus in the last 9 weeks of last year.
Yeah. But if he plays the style of football he played today, he'll probably be Super Bowl MVP again. So
there you,
you know,
go.
I think it was a productive style of football. No, he didn't really do anything special out there today. No real passing attempts that were risky. No special throws. His best throw was probably to Goddard for about a 12-yard completion. Hit Goddard in stride. Goddard had 5 catches today with AJ and Devontae not there. So yeah, 20 of 21. Pretty good. I gave him a B+.
Now, this is sort of just a throwaway question, only because I saw his profile picture yesterday. Mm-hmm. I got to admit, it was almost like taking a blue chew. A.J. Dillon.
Oh, yeah.
A.J. Dillon.
Dude, let me tell you.
My goodness.
Let me tell you.
My goodness.
He's a big fella.
I mean, running. The size of this dude. Well,
yeah.
Jesus.
And by the way, he seems, by his social media, he seems very excited.
Seems like a nice guy,
yeah. Seems to enjoy being
what
here.
What did that dude look like out there?
So I will say A.J. Dillon running in the open field was probably the biggest moment of practice where it was like it caught my attention. Right. Yeah. Other than that, there wasn't a ton of like crazy plays or anything like that.
Yeah.
A.J. Dillon caught a screen pass and started to run. And my thought was he looks awful to try to tackle. Like it was like LeGarrette Blount.
Yes.
Like faster. So I mean, for him, just the fact he's healthy, obviously, you know, is a big part of it. He was the third running back today. Will Shipley, I think, had a better practice than AJ Dillon.
Sure.
But just physically, they have not had a running back like that. I mean, obviously Saquon, but just LeGarrette Blount was my similarity watching him in the open field. His combination of speed and just size and all types of other words you could.
Yeah. So you got excited like I did. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't worry.
Hardest wood I have ever touched.
Now, Elliot, I saw a lot of beat writers around the league today. Noticed an uptick in the amount of quarterback stats.
Yeah.
Oh no, really?
Yeah. Would you say that you are the most influential beat writer that this city has ever seen?
I mean, it's hard to argue. You consider there's been a lot of greats. I'm lucky.
Interesting.
Yeah. A lot of greats.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like every single beat writer across America is doing what I do. So I don't. I mean, that I'd call that influential.
Yeah.
I would say.
Well, I don't know if you passed up Rube yet, man.
More influential than Rube? What do you think?
Rube's a good
guy. Yeah, Rube and Frank, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rube's great with stats. I agree. Now, other people do stats, you know. But, like, it is. No, I'm just.
Ooh, boy.
And it's intercepted by Ike Race.
There it is.
But
guys like to be stroked.
Here's what I would say. What this means is I challenge any beat reporter out there for another team to track their quarterback throwing a better franchise record than Jalen Hurts with consecutive completions without an interception. You can't write this down as what it is, which is probably an NFL record for consecutive passes without an interception.
Wow.
So yeah. We can get that to where it belongs.
Yeah, I saw your buddy Connor Hughes. So Connor Hughes covers the Jets and Giants. And I saw him have all the quarterback stats.
Quarterback stats.
Now, I know him and Elliot are buddies. And I'm like, wow, he just took the page.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually, I saw a tweet from Connor that said, wow, I really got to say, Jackson Dart has aura out there. And I was like, he's Elliot. He's just taking Elliot's entire playbook.
Well, you know what's so funny about that? I texted Connor last week and I was like, just so you know, Jackson Dart has franchise swag.
Oh, you told him.
That's me once again influencing the other beat writers. You know?
Wow.
Hey, listen, we both said that on draft night. We saw his fit, man. He has franchise swag. He does.
He might be terrible. Who knows? But he certainly has franchise.
Yeah, but at least he's got swag. Yep. At least he's got swag. Well,
exactly right.
Well, Elliot is in his element right now.
He is.
And if there's ever a time to subscribe to the Go Birds podcast, it is now. You'll get updates every single day. You can subscribe in your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Great job out there, Elliot. Great job.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
There he is. Alrighty. Elliot Shore Parks. Yeah. I think everybody's all the beat writers, not all of them, but like a lot of them are stealing his bit now. Imitation, the most sincere form of flattery?
No, listen, absolutely. No doubt. No
you need
doubt
clicks.
About it.
Everyone needs clicks.
Well, here's the thing that he figured out before a lot of other people figured out. Is that we were going into an age where people want to know this stuff.
Right.
So we didn't even know that we wanted to know this stuff. But what else are you going to cover in training camp?
Well, that is my...
Like, what else are you going to... The quarterback is always the most important guy to cover in training camp.
And it's like you can always say, well, it's only training camp. Well, who cares?
Then what's
the
point? Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, also, we know. We know.
Yeah, we know it's training camp.
That was my biggest problem. Now that Elliot's not on, I can rip the other reporters.
Right.
Well, that's my problem with all the Big J journos being like, what does that mean?
Right,
I was like, what does that mean? I don't know. I can't be there.
Right.
I can't watch.
Yep.
He's telling me what happens at the thing that I can't watch. And if... That's what I thought your job was, you know?
Unless so making you have Tom fun of Brady that. Or Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. Yeah, we want to know what the hell our quarterback is doing at every practice.
Yes, of course.
Yes, we want to know if he threw three interceptions that day.
Yes, come on. Now, does Elliot take it to another level? He does.
He does.
Does he make defending him hard? He does. But we love him.
Yes.
And he is a trailblazer.
Dude. I didn't feel this way when he first started doing this. I mocked him too.
Yes,
Yes, he's convinced me. So he's worked his magic.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's worked his magic. Real quick.
Yeah.
I need AJ Dillon to be healthy this year.
Oh yeah.
I just need the combination of that's a nice trio there.
Oh, it's thunder and lightning right there.
Oh man, he throw a little bit of we got a little bit of exciting white in there too, man.
Oh wow.
Forget about my boy Will Smith.
So it's thunder, lightning, and
Will Shipley.
Yep. Will Shipley.
Will Shipley.
Your boy.
Yep.
Yeah, Will Shipley, man. Come on, man.
All right. We will get back to the Bryce Harper getting hit issue. Are you a big, tough guy who wants to hit a Brave? Give the other team a base runner? Wow, you really proved your point. Or are you smart like me and understand that the goal is to get the other team out, not put them on base? 215-592-9494. We will also get you the new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings coming up next. You know, we may have to alter what we have here based on Elliot's report.
Okay.
I don't know.
Does Elliot belong on the Time Magazine most influential
people? Most influential people? I think he does.
I think so.
I think he does.
Right with Jalen.
I put Elliot over Jalen. I actually do believe that Elliot is more influential than Jalen.
How about a Twitter poll on that?
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
I'm sure Elliot would appreciate that.
I do. That puts him in a tough spot.
Of course it does.
Yeah. Yep. Elliot more influential than Jalen. All right. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.